now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, our very special guest is Tracy Ash. Tracy is a 5D mystic, genius, metaphysics ascension, 5D initiation, and she is an initiated Sufi, ancient Egypt wisdom keeper, and she is here to share a lot of information with us. We're going to have all of her website information and contact information on our dedicated website. And so without any further ado, Tracy Ash, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you so much.
Tracy, I'm really looking forward to this interview with you, and I'm also looking forward to meeting you because we're going to be sharing the bill, so to speak, at the Coffs Harbor Conference in mid-January of 2018. So that's another gig we're going to be talking about in the future. Tell us a bit about yourself. Give our listeners an idea of who you are and what brought you to this stage of your journey.
Okay. I'm absolutely passionate about positive change. I'm passionate about disclosure and education, intelligent questioning. I'm absolutely fascinated since childhood. I've always been passionate about the universe, questioning, meditation, metaphysics. I was born into a family of outstanding mediums. So as a child, I think some of my first memories were on meditation and how I could control reality by using meditation. And those first memories have really, really stayed very strongly with me through all of my contracts, and some of my contracts in life have been intense and immensely challenging. I've had near-death experiences. I've experienced massive attacks from cult members as well. So my work has been a progressive build-up over the last four decades. But what I've always recognized is my purpose. I've always believed in that. I've always believed in the work that I do for humanity on behalf of what I label as light, or I reference as light. So really working in those ways. And now I work over multiple continents. I have training schools. Most importantly, I speak with people. I inspire people to reconsider what our reality is, who we are in terms of our power, and what are the keys in terms of making those connections, in terms of contact, in terms of a sacred existence, in terms of an existence that goes beyond programming, an existence that takes us into direct experiencing all of these magical subjects that we so dearly love in this arena, and how we get the evidence and in photography, in experiences, when we meditate or when we show up at sites, etc., etc. So my work is like a crazy, massive umbrella. And I think that is so contemporary for the times that we live in. We need a massive umbrella in terms of resource, so we can navigate our way through what is a massive hijack in terms of elite power agenda. That's kind of critical in terms of my work. And I regularly lecture on this, even in a meditation healing arena as well, because of course our programming is something that completely defines our reality, and it is past to and passed over and influences who we are, what our awareness is, what our stories are, etc., etc. Those frequency codes are then influencing other human beings in our vicinity and also tipping the collective. So this is the stuff that I've been passionate about since childhood. This is the stuff I've been aware of that I could read. And this is the stuff that I've sat in for decades, working out ways to navigate this and overhaul it and outperform our programming so we can tap into all the stuff that's in myths about really transforming our reality, really overhauling what's presented by the elite power structures. So this is what I do within the context of my own journey and my own history and what I experienced as a child growing up in the north of England. And boy, I was influenced by a lot of programming. And I think the work that I do today is about really sharing revolutionary information on programming. We've just been working on my next book, and it's all based in reality revolution and really taking people through the 3 and the 4 and the 5D and really taking them into understanding the subtle differences. You know, programming is really clever because it can catch you out. You know, even the finest experts in this arena get caught out in terms of their programming, in terms of colluding with the ego. And so it's our internal work sets us free and then allows us to investigate the dimensions and the realities and the contact and working with some of the highest evolutionary beings, the pro-evolutionary agents of our universe. And those are the guys I want to really call upon in terms of assisting the planet. I'm sure you're exactly the same.
Could you tell us a bit about some of the formative experiences in your youth, which gave you an idea that, you know, this reality that we've been taught, these dogmas that we're being, stonewalled with, essentially, that it's all cracked up to be, that, you know, we are much more than we are made out to be?
Well, I came in, if you can, I suppose the easiest way to assimilate my experience as a child is I was like the kid from The Sixth Sense. I could see, I could feel, I'm a natural medium. It's inherited via both my parents' lines. I engaged with a grandmother who spent more time in seances, and my cousins are the same. So when I would wake up in the morning, I would see orbs shooting throughout my room. It was some of my most favorite childhood time engaging with the dimensions. If I'm out playing outside, I would see these vast beings of light in the landscape. I could see, I could feel, I could hear the thoughts of people, I could read the agendas, importantly, of people. And this is something that stayed with me all of my life. The energy and the agendas are not necessarily the words that people utilize. And this is a really fascinating reality that I tapped into in very early childhood. And it stayed with me. I was a very unusual, sensitive, exceptionally silent child. And so sensitive that at times I could barely speak. And so my childhood was metaphysical experience after metaphysical experience. My parents did not know what to do with me. Around the age of my 14th birthday, I decided that I would be meditating, engaging in metaphysical stuff. I started to get really interested in metaphysics. It wasn't something that ever went away. It was part of my life. It wasn't something that kind of early on just came into my life. It was there as a constant. I knew how to meditate without anyone ever teaching me. I went into spontaneous, and I think a lot of the work that I do today is often my clients will say, hey, where do you get this information from? And it's passed through my genetics. It's passed through my DNA. I remember it. It's like when I show up at sites or into particular countries, I ramp up my past life memories, and then I'm simply plugging into the data that, of course, the ancients left behind for us to pick up at a later date. So, for example, 17th birthday, I operated as a way shower for my grandmother during her death. I've had incredible shamanic experiences super early on. So despite my age, I was experiencing incredibly taxing challenges. I think my near-death experience was around 21. So I was thrown into metaphysics and this whole arena of questioning. And, you know, I think I spent the late 80s, the 90s, showing up at the College of Psychic Studies in London, getting my training, sitting with the South Kensington women and their twin set and pearls, and I caught the end of some of the greatest mediums of last century when the training was immaculate. Before we got into, oh, I'm going to a workshop and that's me awakened, that's me activated. You know, I was being trained by people who had 50, 60 years of experience. And I'm always fortunate in terms of my contracts. I connected with people with connections with Tibet. I sat at the feet of Rinpoche's in my 20s. My learning always shows up through my life. And again, this is some of the work that I do in my teachings. Our lives give us the teachings that we need in terms of our journeys. It's just the programming doesn't deliver on the metaphysics. It's listening to our sacred destiny. It's listening to the contracts that we have, the experiences that we have. Interestingly enough, often a lot of my metaphysical experiences and the challenges of my contracts have been questioned by healers, mediums, etc., etc., in this arena, often because there's an association with pain and suffering, but that pain and suffering has been my greatest gift because the wound has taken me into those great depths of self-inquiry and self-acknowledgement, which has also made me question the nature of reality and the hijacks and also the contracts that are set up via the vehicles of programming, the agents of programming. And, you know, that's even brought me to certain conclusions about the way we operate on time loops and the way that the journey of light and those agents of light are often hijacked through many, many challenges, et cetera, et cetera. And so over the last, four decades, I've had masses and masses of challenges and restrictions, but these have always been immense in terms of unlocking me and freeing me. And I am the own measure of myself. I'm also the master of my own freedom. And so what I'm particularly interested in is not limiting how much disclosure I deliver to people. I want to share everything that I have that's up to date in terms of today. And so that gives other people the opportunity to sit in their story and then to question their contracts and to very much recognize that it is indeed our awareness that can change reality. Ramp up your life force in terms of that. And holy shit, you are the genius key in creating an incredible new reality. You know, and that's something that fascinates me. So we really tip the scale kind of beyond 4D. You know, I've got masses of stories, but I've got masses to share as well. So I kind of think the interview is going to be kind of peppered with stories and then kind of connections into how the listener can also really activate that within themselves as well.
Yes, because you mentioned some key points already. As far as time loops are concerned, and contracts, for the benefit of our listeners, could you define what you mean by time loops?
Right. Time loops are when the Egyptians were really cool with this. I'll explain it in a kind of simplistic way. They played with 5D and 3D. And so in my understanding, my particular affinity is with the ancient Egyptian knowledge. I spend a lot of time in Egypt. I run off time loops that are associated with Akhenaten as well. And the time loops were put into place to secure the knowledge of light. So 3D and 5D. And the ancient Egyptians had exacting ability within the context of overhauling consciousness, mastering consciousness, manifesting consciousness in zero point and holding it into gravity. And then the time loops could then be mastered with meticulous precision. So we're in a massive time loop here, and you know that roots into the Dendera zodiac. The Dendera zodiac is a kind of prophecy tablet in terms of showing us, hey, this is where we are in terms of that 26,000 year cycle. I'm in that time loop where I can hit into the past ancient knowledge, hit into the future, and we can hold it right now so we can bring all of the knowledge right into this particular time, 2017. And that resource is massive if we've got people, individuals, souls incarnating with that knowledge encrypted in their DNA and their being. So many of us have chosen to incarnate at this time. And many of us have chosen, partly because we have been guided by advanced beings in the past who gave us that knowledge to work with the time loops and with 3D timelines as well. And I think that's important. We got the time loop, but we also need to recognize the linear time that has been perpetuated by those 3D agencies as well. So the ancients knew how to recognize both the Dendera zodiac, that particular device acknowledges the 3D. It acknowledges the hijack on humanity. It speaks through the visual data about the return to the path of the East, the path of light, the path of Horus, which is the magnificence of humanity once again. You know, and that particular reality path has been perpetually hijacked, perpetually closed down. And when you look at that in terms of our timeline, so we have the 3D timeline, which gives you often the same themes, the same stories which are held on a 3D timeline. So often our evolution is a little slower, it's hijacked, etc., etc. And then you've got this 5D where you can really embrace the time loops as well. And the 5D is about bringing in all of resources, past, present, and future. Akhenaten talks about this in his Aten, of course. And so when we start to drop ourselves into gravity, and gravity is the only way you can master time and timelines and time loops, which of course is what pyramid science is all about. Pyramid technologies are designed for that. So we come into a place where we can master and understand time, timelines, time loops, and we can begin to navigate ourselves exactly in terms of our incarnations. And I think this is what the agents of light have done and have done for millennia in terms of securing that knowledge for humanity. And what we need to recognize is that it's always about sacred destiny. It will always be about finding ourselves to a journey and into a journey of sacred destiny of the 5D. How long it takes is where the time loops come in. Because if you can get to facilitators and mentors who don't do 4D, who actually do the 5D stuff, who are in touch with the time loops, etc., etc., they're the ones that are going to kick ass your evolution. They're going to revolutionize what you believe reality is. They're going to revolutionize how you connect into information from your previous incarnations, how you are guided into more relevant and stunning incarnation information. So you're really looking at how you're guided, how you are mentored, how you're facilitated. And then equally at the same time, in terms of the way that I work in 5D, I'm bringing so many future aspects of myself into the playing field to, again, further kick ass in terms of the reboots, in terms of who we really are and who the client really is as well. You know, and I'm seeing so many people at the moment who are caught in very challenging healing wounds. So that's where your frequency is. It holds you into the 3D, and it can perpetuate a little bit of the 4D. So you get the, oh, I've got a glimpse of how reality is. And then, bang, you're dropped into that 3D. And often you're in that place where you're dipping out of 3D, 4D. What I want to get people into is the 5D. So you bring in the future. You're, you know, for me, it's about using that slogan where we're saving the future by being the future. You know, I think this is something that you're interested in too. But this is the model of Akhenaten, and it's a kind of interesting story. I in my 20s, never been to Egypt, and I do a past life regression. This past life regression therapist was so 4D, was so pain, fear attached. So I go deep into the hypnosis, and everything about this hypnosis goes, you're not going anywhere that is pain attached. It's not happening. And I spun into a lifetime that was magnificent. I mean, seriously magnificent. And I looked down at my feet. I was male, wearing white galabeah, with long white hair to my waist. I mean, I was working underground. I was working in temple complexes in ancient Egypt during ancient times. And working with, I don't know if you're aware or your listeners are aware of a site which is not open to the public in the Giza complex called Abu Ghraib. And there are incredible Egyptian calcite bowls. There may be a meter plus standing in squares. At that site too is the most incredible Hotep. Now, I'm describing this place. In that past life regression, I went away, I drew myself, I drew the site down. 20 years later, I show up at that site and I go, holy shit, the bowls have been moved. I'm gonna find them. I'm gonna find the ones that I was using. I mean, we were seriously anchoring in the highest frequency zero points technology to assist evolutionary changes in those human beings I was working with. So you gotta take it. I was a hybrid, and I mean, I'm shining some serious light in this past life regression. It blew the mind of the past life regressionist. It will never leave me as the most authentic experience I've ever had in a regression. I show up 20 years later and I'm at this site, and I go straight away to all of the places where the bowls are still embedded in the floor of the temple. And that's how much I knew the site. So much of what I understand about timelines, oh my God, we were working with those technologies in ancient times. I know that I was Akhenaten's scribe as well. So that knowledge that has, I suppose, inspired our metaphysical arena, and often perhaps in an overtly occult way, I'm not interested in working with the technologies in an occult way. I'm interested in utilizing the technologies to powerfully impact humanity and to transform people. The timelines for me, and if I explain it in terms of how I work with people when I read their destiny, I can read your 3D timeline imprints in your energy field when I do a session. I've always worked in an incredibly unusual way, despite my training in traditional mediumship, transmediumship, etc., etc. What I can also do, because I'm in that 5D, is I can read your 5D destiny. So what would happen in terms of your future, your existence, if you offloaded the programming? And then that would take us into serious players in terms of what we can do, mobilizing as a group of incredible, ordinary human beings, and what that would do for the planet. And that's the work that I do. So in terms of understanding the timelines, I bring in that resource to revolutionize not only my journey, but to actually train people how to do it. So my understanding of it is in the how-to, and it's definitely gravity. It's in showing up at these sites. I can't stress enough how important it is to get out into nature, which is not contaminated by the programming we experience when we're mass herded into cities. You know, because that's one sure way in terms of unplugging ourselves from the 3D timeline and then taking us into the sites and into the earth wisdom that has been encrypted. You know, those sites are incredibly important. I live in Egypt parts of my time. every site that I visit is part of the work that I do with people. So I don't just offer working at site. I mean, we're seriously working at site as we did then. Just before I was getting ready to do this interview with me, I was listening to a channeled lecture I did in Akhenaten's tomb. I'm serious about downloading this information that's held in timelines, it's held in the sites, it's held in frequency, it's encrypted in our earth. We have everything that we need if we transform our programming and indeed our energy systems so we can re-trigger our life force and then be that sacred key that connects us into that 5D matrix, which is the phenomenal time loop. You know, and that's what I'm interested in. In terms of that past life regression, it's informed so much in terms of my work with others. I mean, in terms of the way that contracts of future destiny have been arranged in our previous incarnations. You know this stuff. You must love this stuff. Yeah, I love this stuff.
Definitely a degree of orchestration, for lack of a better term, because the people that I know, the real players in this field, there seems to be this guiding hand that even in spite of themselves sometimes when we kind of go off the rails and kind of get a little distracted, someone or something kind of nudges us back on track, and then we're allowed to continue our destiny. Now, have there been times when these forces of limitation, these negative forces, have tried to derail you? And another point I would like you to delve into, because you touched on this also with the contracts and whatnot, because am I correct in saying that in some instances, whether it's through deception, bad choices, whatever the case may be, in our prior incarnations, we get kind of like locked into these bogus agreements, if you will, and that radically affects our future incarnations? And if there's a way to unlock or move that blocked energy, how does that open up possibilities for us to plug into these time loops you were talking about?
I completely agree. I think the advice I would give, first of all, is whatever you've experienced is a contract of destiny, but how you experience it depends on how you equip yourself within the context of your life force and within the context of trusting implicitly your awareness. Because if you speak intelligently and quietly with individuals, you're in touch with your hunches. You know that these bogus contracts, but I often feel those contracts, they'll be resonating with wound resonance. So as you really dig deep within the context of your own fears, and perhaps also your reluctance to be more incredible than you're actually manifesting yourself as. You know, for me, I think when I work with people, it's about saying, hey, this is your reality, this is your destiny, these are your contracts, but wow, what would you be? What could you be if you allowed yourself to be this incredible being? For example, last month I was in Egypt. I had quite a tricky contract with a client who had lost her son at 23. And that type of work is, for me as a mom, is very challenging work. It's also about helping people to recognize that some pain is extraordinarily difficult to deal with. But in terms of that situation, she'd been offered guidance from other people who said, disconnect from communicating with your son. I would say, no, what we need to do is to ramp up the 5D so we can stay in contact with dimensions, forces that are going to assist us. And I think that's been very important. When we get hijacked in terms of a critical life experience that blows our minds and our hearts to pieces, it's like the Assyrian myth of complete disintegration. How do we put ourselves back together? We put ourselves back together by staying connected. And that's when, instead of rolling into the 3D and into the can't and everything's impossible and this is the only reality I exist in, then we start getting into ramping up into the 5D and staying connected. That's when you've got to meditate. That's when you've got to get into nature. That's what you've got, when you've got to find the soul flames who have walked with you for eternity. They're the great buddies in supporting us in terms of saying, hey, this is your destiny. I don't want to hijack you. I want to love you. And I think that's a really significant reality game changer at the minute. It's about being with the people who love, not being with the people who are carrying particular frequencies of programming, you know, and those bogus contracts. I think we all love, and there are always opportunities in terms of making it right in terms of our exchanges with people. But what we have, and this has come from a lot of my contact with pro-evolutionary ETs, our free will here on the planet is a big player and a big consideration. And we only overhaul our free will if we overhaul our programming. So the work we must do is on ourselves. And the work we must encourage others is on ourselves. But again, the contract that I've had with people, you know, moving into contracts fully aware, I have great hope for humanity. I always look for the best in people and situations and contracts. And I think, you know, that's who we are in terms of a whole generation of pioneers and pro-evolutionary human beings. You know, we look for the good, and that is a core value in a new model of humanity, and we should uphold that and fight for that. That's where our warriorship is being really called into action. In terms of your listeners, really sit hard in your meditation work. What I do is I sit hard and I will create a pyramid that I sit in, because pyramids allow us to sit in the 3D, sit in the 5D, and open the vast corridors into our universe. They also allow us to do something else. They allow us to open that vast resource, but again, embodied in gravity, and then throw in those questions. So the questions are, why did I go through that contract? That was horrendous. And then start to really access the peace that is essential in terms of the transformation. You see, and then the peace takes us into that house of divine feminine, which of course is an essential element in terms of sacred 5D timelines, etc., knowing that the reality we exist in is absolutely manipulated, manufactured, and engineered as a mere tiny percentage of our reality and existence. You know, so what we must do in terms of navigating those timelines is to look at why contracts are happening around us. What's the lesson and also recognize there's a 3D lesson in it. Once we break and smash that programming or that fear, then we start to get into the good stuff that allows us to walk the path. And this is very strongly connected with Akhenaten's teachings, the 5D teachings. How do we make that slide? And it's a very subtle shift in frequency. How do we make that slide into the good contracts? The stuff that is about love, the stuff that's about light, the stuff that's pro-evolutionary. You know, and how do we release that life force and light in our energy system and field so we're really radiating a frequency that is revolutionary and evolutionary on a day-to-day basis? And that's the way to navigate the timelines. You know, this is something that we have just done in my new book. It's on its final edit as we're being interviewed. You know, it's stuff that fascinates me. But the only way to tackle it and revise it and overhaul it is to constantly acknowledge that the greatest education is in our life journey. The greatest education is understanding our contracts, our life experiences, and looking at the intelligence of our experiences and what we hold to behold in terms of the 5D, because it's always showing up to say, hey, this is who you could be if you choose another reality. You know, and I think that's where, again, our warriorship is being, it's being called. You know, that's where our greatest fight is. It's in choosing our reality. And of course, the bogus contracts and the contracts I've experienced in terms of being hijacked by a cult organization in California. This was a serious assault, not only on me, but on my clients, you know, and I stood up against it and I disclosed it. You know, I brought them down. I'll tear them down in terms of what they stand for, because I stand for truth and I stand for light. And the 5D, of course, is more powerful than anything that is an agent of darkness, of course, because the agent of darkness is one that is attached to the 4D. So the 5D is the revolutionary genius technology that we all need to step into. And once you're on that slide in terms of just a subtle, subtle higher frequency, you start buddying up with some of the most amazing human beings that are walking this planet. Yeah, you're right with me on this one, yeah?
Absolutely. And it comes down to also the concept of unworthiness, where this system and this hijacked matrix system constantly reminds us or tries to convince us that we're less than, that we're unworthy. And so this triggers and activates all of these agreements that have been foisted upon us, every one of which could be a meaningful lesson to be learned and, you know, used as a jumping off point, right? But because of these layers upon layers upon layers constantly being hammered by the media, everything else, everything is fear-based, everything is scarcity, the scarcity model, everything is a lack of abundance. And so we're constantly kept in this, like, eke out a subsistence living mode where we just don't feel worthy at times. And when you talk about the 5D, what I love about that, Tracy, is that the implication, and it's very real, is you already have a 5D persona. You already have a 5D existence. We just kind of, the twain will meet. We just have to recognize that it's just a little further down the track from where we're at the moment. And we just got to remove these blockages, the blocked energy here and there.
You know what's, it's such a fascinating subject. It's like when we meet, we're going to go deep into conversation. Okay, when we get into these frequency sets, they're it connects us into perpetual themes, perpetual, they're like time loops, theme loops. So when we engage in programming as children, now remember that's passed through our upbringing, through society, through our parents' stories. Everything is being manipulated metaphysically, although in terms of the 3D and the programming, the metaphysical and sacred is marginalized. So that's what we've got to recognize again, that the metaphysical, and I don't mean the mainstream metaphysical that does nothing. You know, I'm a serious player in terms of alchemy, and I have a mystery school as well. I have done, and I will continue for the rest of my life, work in Egypt and show up at the temples and the monuments and the pyramids to download the know-how, to download the instructions. Now, this is interesting. The way that we are controlled is through conflict, no doubt about it. The way that we set ourselves free is through peace. Now, that was removed and marginalized and depleted. So, for example, when I work with individuals, I work with very simple concepts. So we first need to acknowledge ourselves in the 3D timeline. That's what we work with before we look at the bigger picture. So what am I dealing with? What have my life lessons been? What am I learning on a 3D level? As soon as you acknowledge, then you can start to surrender. There's your peace. So you move into what is missing, the peace, the divine feminine. You know, you need the divine feminine in terms of, you need the heart for metaphysics. You need the heart for revolutionary, evolutionary consciousness. You need the heart to help you to navigate into those 5D time loops, the 5D realities. You need the divine feminine. So you need the stuff that has been marginalized, that has been deliberately deleted from our reality and our existence, deliberately deleted from history. You know, even in terms of the Egyptian, the Nitas were not gods and goddesses. The ancient Egyptians were training themselves in reality, realities. So, for example, Isis is love, Sirius is eternity, Hathor is peace, Horus is light. So you're working with realities, and I say Horus is light, is awareness, which is exactly the theme, the corresponding theme in terms of what we're waking up to now massively, en masse, in terms of humanity. So Egypt holds certain keys as regards to this. Very important and crucial information. I spent years researching in Egypt. And I mean, I spent years in Egypt also during extraordinary world events, where I mean contact steps forward and gives me the information on how to serve and how to help humanity overhaul reality. We've got crucial formulas here that are desperate to be disclosed. And also what we've also got are too many experts who haven't done enough work at sites. You with me on this one too?
Yes.
Yeah? There's too much information that is completely attached to the stuff that is so immersed in 3D programming. And so when I show up at, say, a conference, I can read the energy field of those experts and totally get it in terms of where they're at in terms of their own 5D, their own sacred existence and whether the stuff that they're disclosing purportedly is relevant within the context of our evolutionary path, and really opening those doors to the good stuff and not perpetuating the misinformation that takes us on those dubious, bogus journeys, whether it's in reading a book or having contracts with individuals who are not high frequency, who are not pro-evolution. You know, you're right with me there about this stuff too, yeah?
Yeah, you can find a lot of people at conferences like that where it's just, you wonder how they wound up there in the first place. And at the very best you can hope for is that, you know, they don't leave the audience too confused or, you know, in a more densified state.
I'm completely with you. And for me, the difference between research and data and then really taking the data, and I mean questioning it, you know, really questioning it, and the only way to question it is to be internally awake. So I think the work that we need to do in this arena is the internal work,
yes,
so that we can be meticulous about the data we're attaching ourselves to and what that means when we present it to people who want some answers and want actually incredibly, they want the know-how, they need the know-how to set them free. It's really important because we can't sit in information that promises freedom and hope and all of those things. We need to now firmly sit in the reality and the reality possibilities. And we need to say, hey, these are the choices we have, 3, 4, 5D, beyond, et cetera, et cetera. What am I choosing today? What am I choosing when I dance with someone who is choosing 3D, who is choosing to hijack, who is choosing to be consciously anti-evolutionary? And people do this, you know, so we have to be equipped to tackle it head on, and we have to be equipped not to waste time on it, so that we are moving forward and mobilizing with the pro-evolutionary human beings who are totally getting it, you know. And I am completely gobsmacked when I just go into London and look around at how conscious people are. You know, how conscious people are. And so we must navigate ourselves, but we also must remember that being interested in this arena isn't being awake. Being interested in this arena and choosing to work on ourselves and choosing to be awake is it. And that's what I think we have to get over to people who are fascinated and in love with this arena, but can often stay in the stuff that is not necessarily going to give them life-changing data. You know, you want the life-changing data. You know, what can I say? We want ET experiences. I love showing my clients what it's like to be in a 5D meditation. I love working conferences. I love saying, this is how the energy is. Let's crank it up. Come on, guys, let's feel this. Feel what the 5D is. Have the values of the 5D, and values are very important. You know, so you're really understanding the values that you need to live your life in. And those, you know, you mentioned that self-esteem. Huge. It's huge. It's hugely important. Your power, you know, I'm doing Cosmic Consciousness Conference. We're in the solar plexus of the planet. Where do we need to ramp up our energy? Personal power. It's about our awareness. It's about recognizing we don't have to buy into this bullshit anymore. But we are accountable because we need to be responsible. And often in 4D, you can't be responsible because you haven't done enough work on yourself. So you're still carrying the essential anti-evolutionary programming, which can be immensely unconscious.
Yes.
You know, it's interesting stuff.
It is. And that's the toughest work we'll ever do is the inner shadow work. And it goes back to the shame-based wounded inner child, the shame-based programming. This is why so many males in particular, I hate to pick on males here, why they're emotionally shut down. Because it takes a lot of guts, it takes a lot of intestinal fortitude, and the proper kind of self-love to say, yes, I'm a wounded person. I got here in this wounded state for a variety of reasons. Let's start to unravel. Let's start to, you know, move this blocked energy. And it takes a strong person to do that. That's a lot of hard work, and it's painful. And at times it could, you know, holding a mirror up to yourself, you know, you go through fits of shame, you go through fits of, you know, of even, you know, self-loathing at times, but in proper proportion, that could be helpful. Okay, I made mistakes, I got distracted, I, you know, had bad association at this point in my life and where I got led astray, not blaming those people. That's the vibe I was at that time, right? Learn from it and move on. But the people that don't want to do that, they just want to put the cart before the horse, so to speak, Tracy, and say, well, I'm here, I've arrived, I'm ascended. But they still have all these wounded, you know, shame-based issues going on. And what happens is they project outward all this stuff which they've got unresolved. And I see it all the time at the conferences too, where, okay, person A over here, you know, their heart's in the right place. You know, they have a pretty good message, but they're interacting with this other person who I completely disagree with, who's completely on the other side of the tracks. It's like, I say this not out of a sense of elitism, but it goes back to what you said before about, you know, you want to be with people that are on the same wavelength as you, that are pulling the oars in the same direction. There's this notion, Tracy, and it's been going on for so long now, where, okay, we're all at the same conference, we're all in the same forum group, so we must all be exactly alike. You know, cookie cutter fashion, we're all pulling the oars in the same direction. That's just not the way it is.
Yes, absolutely. You've made me cry because I loved how authentically you've just spoken. And it isn't about being elitist at all. It's about being genuine. It's about, yes, doing the work on oneself. And yes, you're right. It is hard. It's
very hard.
It's freaking hard.
It is, because there have been times when I've beaten myself up so unmercifully from the mistakes I made in the past. And, you know, my self-worth was at like a nadir. And there were so many times in my life, Tracy, I say, you know, only I could get myself in this kind of a fix. Only I could do something this stupid and this bad to really muck myself up. Not only mess my life up, but potentially harm others and stuff. And then when you realize that, okay, darkest before the dawn, right? But yes, when you just believe, when you dig deep down, you know, we do have air cover, we do have air support, but it goes back to the worthiness where, yes, you know, the system tells us we're unworthy, but we have a huge cheering section in higher spiritual realms. Huge galleries of highly evolved spiritual beings that are giving us that pull. Go, you can make it just one step at a time. You're going through a tough time right now, but you will make it. Just keep pushing, plodding, one step in front of the other. And you know what, folks? It's the journey. It's the journey. You keep going. That's the message. And as you go, you you become by overcoming is what happens. And it's a process. It's not the destination at this point. It's the journey, and that's getting to that fifth dimension. That's what's key.
It can never be about the journey, because once we're in journey, our ego screws it up. And you know, that is the presence in terms of the off frequency that you're speaking about. And this can happen in our spiritual arenas. It can happen in our day-to-day lives with agendas, with other human beings. But it's that holding on to that recognition, whether it's within ourselves or with other people, when we're not quite right or something isn't quite right. And, you know, you're hitting the nail, you're nailing it here in terms of self-value. It's very strong. If you look at alchemy, alchemy is about the transformation. It's about transforming that wound that you talk about. That's my next book. I'm doing a book called Wound Weaver. And when we begin to tackle our wounds, and my work is always about being true to ourselves, dealing with every aspect of ourselves, not doing any kind of spiritual work, ascension work, anything in our lives that distracts us from doing that essential wound work. Now, you need that wound work to take you into your body. And I mean, when you talk about the timelines, that is the only way that we actually crack working the timelines. And once you're in that embodiment, you are indeed a 5D sacred being. There we have it. You learn the weave and the dream simultaneously. That's when you get contact. That's when you can call in pro-evolutionary assistance. That's when you know where you've come from, know where you're headed. You can trust your contracts, despite how unconventional they are, and despite how many people say, hey, you can't do that. You can't be that person. You know, I've come across so many people like that.
Matrix sentinels, I call them. You know, they're just, you know, there to pull the rug out from under you if we let them, you know. Well, we've reached the end of a fascinating first segment, Tracy. Could you let our listeners know where they can find you online, what your website is, and how they can contact you if they would like a consult, if they have any questions for you?
Of course, it's really simple, tracyash.com, so TRACEYASH.com. Thank you.
And for our dear listeners out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do here at the Cosmic Switchboard Show, please go to the cosmicswitchboard.com, sign up, and become a member. And we'll see you at the top of the next hour.
Because this is a frequency war.